See? I want to get one of those, quiet, those...
Clappers!
Hey, clappers.
Ah, TV.
Let's get BTS.
HR. Who doesn't like clappers? Am I right? Okay.
Are
you
ready?
Relax. I don't think HR would like that. Yes. All right. All right. Oh, you see it? Oh. Gotcha.
Don't worry, I'm gonna get you back to it.
Yes, yes. Okay, bet. All right. Yes, yes. ITV. I'm here with Nadira Simmons.
Hey.
And we've got another installment for y'all. Before we get into the questions and, you know, we really get started, I'm going to have Nadira introduce herself to the people. You know, who are you? What do you do? And why are you here today?
Okay. My name is Nadira Simmons. I am an author now, which is crazy, but author, social media manager, producer, and founder of the Gumbo Mass Media and Social Club.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to get into all of that. But
okay.
Before we get started, we are going to start with a segment, new segment called Set the Flow. I'm going to ask her some questions, and she's going to tell me the first thing that comes to mind. So let's get right into it.
This is how we're kicking it off?
Yes,
okay, let me prepare.
Kick just like that.
Oof.
Boom. First, we're going to start off with baseball.
Phillies.
Okay.
I love that you did that, because you already know we're getting close to spring training.
Okay.
Why is?
Okay. The GOAT.
Ooh. Can I say the first two things that came to mind?
Yeah, okay. We're cheating early, but that's okay.
Jay-Z and Lil' Kim. They're like together for me.
Okay. LeBron was the answer we were looking for, but we'll go with that.
Okay.
Let's say food.
Sushi.
Performer.
Prince.
Old school.
Vinyls.
Bad TV.
See how you're trying to get me? Answer is nope.
Okay. Vintage.
The library, that's what I think of.
Relaxing.
Incense.
Okay, and hip hop.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. So.
You tried to get me.
I love bad TV. There's some shows that, you know.
I can't think of what's like bad.
Yeah.
Maybe bad TV that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about preference.
What would you say?
For me, I think I would say what you said. So let's get to the first question. When did you realize what hip hop meant to you?
My dad always tells me this story of how when I was like 2 or 3, I would be like in the back of his, he had a red Nissan Altima in my car seat, and I would be rapping like Hov from like Reasonable Doubt, like Imaginary Players, like knew all the words. So I feel like that's kind of, I mean, I don't remember being 2. I vaguely remember being in that car, but just every part of like my childhood and then now my adulthood, I feel like I can always relate it to some moment in hip hop. So, yeah.
Okay. Hip hop, Jay-Z. So is Jay-Z your favorite artist?
He's one of them, yeah.
Okay. Who are some others?
Missy, okay. Kim. There's so many. There's like a lot. It's like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we could be here all day.
Yeah.
So in speaking of, you know, I feel like a lot of people, when it comes to hip hop, they have different moments that they kind of plugged in or like kind of became conscious of what that meant to them. I know for me, one of the earliest songs I ever remembered was, well, I guess there's songs earlier, but I remember I was in front of my church, it was 6th grade, and everyone used to always tell me I looked like Akon, which I don't, but these are things that happen.
Wait, so that's crazy.
It is, but you know, trauma, but let's leave it there. So Soul Survivor, Akon and Young Jeezy, right? That's like the first time I made a decision to listen to hip hop when my parents were in church upstairs, went to Hot 97. And I feel like my world just was like, hold on.
He was in North Jersey, so he had Hot 97.
Yes. And I was like, hold on, they can say that on the radio? Like, because at that time, my parents, it was just Christian music, Kirk Franklin, CC Winans, all of that. So
when I started listening to Christian rap?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That was hate.
No, it was a question.
Well, I'll say this now. I do think the difference is like Christian rap, it's ebbs and flows.
Because
sometimes I like it, but I feel like because I know like what they are trying to do, like it's almost like they're, I feel like it's a reactive I would say genre.
Yeah.
Because they see what the success they make in hip hop and try to make it sort of, they try to kind of replicate like the styles, like the drill, which is cool. But sometimes it's like,
I was genuinely curious because I only hear every once in a while. So that's why I was like, send me some recs. Like, I would listen.
I don't think you're really a hater. But I think when it comes to like Christian music, I do listen to it.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes there's a place, like even when I'm listening to regular hip hop, it might be in a car ride or some of the more quote unquote active songs. Mm-hmm. It's for gym. It's when I'm in the gym.
Okay,
so it's just a time and place for everything.
I agree.
Yeah, I think to your point about speaking about Jay-Z and Missy Elliott, like understanding what those people mean to you and hip hop is important. And I mean, you wrote a book about it. So I'm sure I don't have to tell you that. So how important is being emotionally like dialed into a project for you? And do you have a process that helps you stay kind of tuned in?
Yeah, I think this was the first time I ever did anything where I didn't have like a full-time job. Like I left my job after 6 years. I just felt like there was something on the horizon that was new and different, and I wanted to be completely like tapped in. So I kind of removed all of that. I was in my hometown in Jersey. I went to the library that I used to go to as a kid every single day just to like write, watch documentaries and read and research. So I really just wanted to like remove all the outside noise, not just to be able to focus, but also because I didn't really want to be influenced. Like my love for hip hop, like my dad had a hip hop clothing store when I was growing up. So I would come with him to New York and like go to the showrooms and like meet people and see people. And, you know, my uncle owns a barbershop in South Jersey too. So when I would be in the barbershop, I would hear those hip hop debates. I would hear them playing music. My dad had a DJ in the clothing store. I would see people designing clothes. So it was so much to that. And obviously I ended up working in TV, but like, I love watching all that and seeing the guests and the performers. I love watching the Apollo. So knowing all of that, I wanted to take everything that I loved and enjoyed and not really felt, I didn't really want to feel influenced by what other people thought I should write about or what's happening in the world or what I'm seeing or being maybe in the city and feeling like it's so fast paced that like, oh, I got to keep up with what's happening. I really wanted to just go back to South Jersey, just lock in and just vibe and write the thing that I wanted to write.
How important to you are first impressions?
Very important. But I also am a big fan of like second chances too. That's like my thing.
Okay. And I asked,
sometimes people mess up.
I know more than anybody. Now, I asked that because when you're reading a book, right? Mm-hmm. Most times the first impression may be the back when you read the summary.
Mm.
Or it may be if you decide to kind of dive in and maybe read a few pages for the intro. So when I was perusing the book, I saw that you wrote the intro over about 50 times.
Yeah, I wrote a lot.
And I guess my question is, what about each version, or I guess the first version, what made it incomplete that you felt, I need to do this again? I need to give them another opportunity to experience me as an author for another time.
I think the first like 10, 15 times I was writing it, I felt like I was writing like a very straightforward intro to like a history book.
Mm.
And then I was like incorporating more of my personality. And sometimes I incorporated like way too much. I was like, damn, right, I don't need to know that. Like, take it out. And then, just kept doing it. I wanted it to feel like, and when you read the book, it feels like you're talking to me. Like,
it's funny because I was telling Quinn that when I was reading the copy that she, you know, gracefully let me read, that I felt like I was having a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And like, we were just at, like, we're not just sitting randomly waiting for the crowd to come in at Sample Sunday. And like,
you're telling me
about, okay, do you know this song? Do you know where this song is cut from?
Right.
Like, and it felt like you were like, you're even in the words, I could feel like who you are in the book.
Oh, I love that.
Like, I can't remember the track you told, but I think early in the book you said, go listen to this and then come back.
Pussycat by Missy Elliott.
Exactly.
Banger.
And like you said, I didn't listen. And you said we wouldn't listen. But I'm like, this girl knows her readers.
Nah, I know you didn't.
And then I actually had to go listen to it. Now I'm like, damn, she saw me.
Yeah.
But like, I think like writing a book with that kind of first or second person or even third person kind of perspective really allows the person to feel like I'm part of the process of the book.
Yeah.
When, you know, and it's even like that being like that inclusivity and interaction allows us to feel like I can, like it was an easy read.
I love that.
And it felt comfortable where I was like, okay, I'm learning. But I don't feel like I'm in class. I feel like I'm doing this by myself.
And I'm a nerd. Like, if someone would pay for me to go back to school, I would go back to school and just, like, take African-American history. Like, I would do that for years if I could. Because I love learning that much. But I also know everyone doesn't process information in the same way.
Yes.
I also have read the statistics about how we as people process information and what we gravitate towards and how we're able to consume and actually remember things. So I'm like, I know a lot of times people remember stuff when someone brought it up in a conversation versus sitting in a classroom and now I didn't hit you with fact, and
yeah,
another
exactly.
fact, and another fact, and another fact, which I think all of those are great and there is a place for that. But I think the way I talk about history, whether I'm talking about hip hop history or like New Jersey history or like family history, like I always have these like grand ways of connecting it to stuff. So I didn't want to write something that didn't feel authentic to me. And I think that's why I rewrote the intro so many times, because I'm like, by the time I got into the chapters, like I'm chatting, I'm having fun. And the intro is, it was fun, but it was just like, you're about to learn about women. And I was like, bro, like.
Yeah, and it sets the flow. And I think it's important that you allowed yourself to be seen in that way in the book. Because even for someone who doesn't know you, you kind of get an understanding of, to some capacity, that this artist is someone who's like, who feels that I need to put part of myself in this book in a way that people can digest it smoothly and not feel like this is the abstract or some scholarly journal of hip hop, which the content is there, but the introduction of this high level that goes over people's heads isn't, which is perfect because now people feel like this is a smooth transition to learning. So next thing I have for you was book writing. I can't speak to the process, but I remember when you said years ago you were going to start this. So was there an emotion that you felt like during that process of that book that helped you achieve the state you needed to be in to actually write it?
I think I felt a lot of, and I still have like a lot of anxiety around it, just because I feel like you're releasing a thing. Like I imagine this is how artists feels when they like release their first album and they're very excited, but also stressed. I think I had so much anxiety because at one point, I was trying to keep up with every single thing that was happening. Like I didn't want to be behind. Like if there was a new update or someone just broke a new record or they got another number one or something bad had happened, like I was trying to keep up with so much. And after a certain point, like I talked to my editor and he's like, Nadira, you know, this book is going to go to print and something is literally going to happen after that. And you can't change it, which literally so much has happened since the book has gone to print, records and, you know, revelation, so much stuff. And I think that I was writing from that place at first, which is also why I rewrote the intro so many times, is because I was trying to get so much in that then I started feeling so anxious about leaving one thing out. Like if I'm doing this chapter on Kim or Missy or Cardi or Nicki or whoever it is, like if I miss this one part of their career, does that make the whole chapter just like null and void? And I had to remove myself from that and write from the perspective that I ended up writing from. It's just like, just chill. And then also talking to my editor and having him be like, you know, like a book is going to come out and stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, just write the book, enjoy the process and create the book you know you want to create. Let us do the work of, if we go through an edit and we have notes, he was like, let that happen. He was like, but I don't want you writing from that place of trying to encapsulate everything and trying to be this thing that like, yo, we paid you to write this book because we like your voice. So
and
do that.
Even in the book, you speak to the fact that like, you're going to miss some stuff. And because you're writing history while history is happening.
Literally.
And even, I would say, in this year, like, there's a lot of, I would say, pieces of content out kind of centered around correcting the record. So, like, when you write this book, some of the things that you wrote, the facts or the perspective around it may change. But that's
Absolutely.
Not, that has nothing to do with you as an author.
Nope.
That's just life.
Yeah.
So kind of getting comfortable with that can be a little bit unsettling.
I was very uncomfortable. I was like,
and it means so much to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can I let something I have such a strong passion for and connection with, like, it's almost like I'm letting something go that I love. And,
literally. It felt like my kid. I was telling you, I was like, I'm working with a kid today. Like, gotta.
No, I mean, I think it's that there's power in that. And I think it's important that, you know, you acknowledge for yourself that you allowed that to happen in writing
the
book.
Thanks.
So what's an emotion you feel you don't experience enough?
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah. I just feel like there's always like a lot happening in my head. Like even like while I was working on the book, which they had to tell me, like I would come up with marketing ideas. I'm like, hey y'all, like we should do this. And they're like,
take it easy.
It's October of 2022. Like just chill. Like we are nowhere near that part of the process yet.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing. And definitely just having this is like really the sole thing that I really worked on for over a year, and being able to just like lock in helped me kind of find that. Cause I just got too much.
Yeah, you have the gumbo, you have your regular job, and now you have this, which is, it's more than a job. It's like a passion project.
That was literally insane. Yeah. That's why I was like, yo, like I'm gonna take a step back from regular job, you know, day-to-day work, just cause, and I felt very fortunate to be able to
do that.
Yeah,
it's a blessing.
But like, I didn't have the bandwidth. I would have been down bad. Why is that funny?
I completely understand, because I also have an active mind and I'm thinking of five or six things at once.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Libra.
What are we doing? Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe that's it. And I don't even really believe in astrology, but to that degree, I kind of understand it.
People be doing a lot, but it is real.
No, that part I do understand. Like, when they be talking about like the 10th moon and the 5th house and stuff like that.
I don't get into all the moons.
Yeah,
and the
God bless those people. But like,
I do know about them though.
I do too, because I have friends who like have a stronger interest in it than me.
You be telling them that they like, nah. Like too much?
I tell them they're free to believe. If they have 13 houses, then, you know, I'd like to see them.
Yeah.
But still have it. But I'm happy that they have something that provides them, you know, the peace that, you know, we're all trying to
find. That's something
real, yo. Yeah.
Like one time someone, like I did my chart and then they broke it all down. I was like, that's
Because my mom.
Crazy.
My mom don't believe in it either. But she told me one day, like it's some stuff that kind of, because her birthday is right before mine. So
she's Libra too?
Yeah, she's Libra.
Let's go.
Yeah. So she's just like, I don't believe in it, but there's parts of it that make sense. And I'm like, that's my stance as well. So I can't knock it too much, but no, we shouldn't get carried away. That's all. Let's not get carried away. But what, is there any part of this book that you're nervous about?
No. After getting to that point of no longer being anxious about trying to keep everything in, no. And I think the other thing is when you create something, which I think a lot of times you have to figure out why you're making something. Are you making something because you want people to like it? Mm. Are you making something because you wanted to make the thing you wanted to make? Are you making something because you wanted to contribute to a larger conversation? There's a lot of things. And once I got out of the point of trying to write something with the intention of, I'm going to write this thing that everyone loves. I'm going to make this thing that everyone loves. Like you see it in music all the time, which I consume music. I'm nowhere near the industry. I don't know nothing about that. But you can tell when somebody made a song, they're like, we making this so we can make a hit. We can
like
make
a TikTok
viral.
Jingle.
Like, I didn't want to do that. So once I removed myself from that, I made the thing that I wanted to make and I felt like was important. I feel like the only nervousness I would have had prior to having that discussion with my editor is like, oh, what if someone doesn't like this? Or what if someone feels like you left this person out? Or what if they were like, I don't like the way you talked about this? Or why did you choose this song to highlight? Or why did you choose this first? Because that's what the book is, a book of first. Why did you choose to highlight this moment in their career? Why, like,
and even
cool.
And even to speak to that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure the people you selected for the book and the cover, even that is like very early, you could have had some pushback.
Yeah.
And you had to be confident in, I chose these people. And that's that.
Yeah.
And it's your book.
Literally, that's the thing. Like,
it's
at the
book.
End of the day, people are going to like what they like.
Yeah.
And they're not. What am I going to do if someone says they hate the book? Like, I'm like, oh, this is the worst idea ever. I wish I never did. Like, no, like, you're well within your
right.
It's
your perspective on the history of women's contributions to hip hop.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is.
Exactly. So all the women I selected for the front and back cover, like, I think they're extremely important. That also doesn't mean I couldn't put like more women on the inside, which I did. Like there's just so much that comes with creating a book and creating and selecting the chapters. I also wrote 20,000 words over what I was supposed to in the contract.
Really?
So I wrote way more than I like.
And they accepted it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But like we have already pushed the limits of what I was supposed to do because I still was so like intent on like, I gotta have this game at the end of Big Les's chapter, and I gotta have this game at the end of Nikki's chapter. I remember I had to rewrite a few chapters because of copyright. I learned that, you can't have a certain amount of lyrics past like 4 or 5 lines in a book, or it's literally copyright.
Wow.
So I had a whole chapter, which you'll see, I don't wanna spoil it, where I was like comparing lyrics to one another. It was my favorite chapter. Yeah. I thought it was fire. And the lawyer was like, you can't do this. I had to rewrite it after I had already turned the manuscript in. It was a whole like.
That's why I got to get the book. She risked copyright infringement.
No, I didn't risk it. I took it out. No, I did not. No, I did not. I don't want no smoke, no problems. But...
She almost did, but see, taking risks. You got, that's another reason why we got to read first things first.
Now you got to have lawyers.
It's important, yeah.
They scan through it. They say, no.
Because me, I'd have been in there writing all types of monster lyrics, and then I'd be in prison before the book dropped.
That's what it was.
It's Nikki. Like, I think that's her best verse. Monster.
That's what the chapter's about. Fire.
And I didn't even get that far. I just knew.
Fire.
Because I'm a secret.
You're going to like the end of that chapter. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Yeah.
It's not a spoiler. It's whatever. But I took parts of her lyrics and I asked people to write in their own.
See, to see speaking if they to that interaction.
Yeah, like, it's just fun. Like, let's just have fun. Dope. I like that. Come on. Like, she's one of the greatest. So have fun.
So in terms of the entirety of the book, like, what does this book represent for you?
I feel like it represents... How do I say this without sounding cliche? I think beyond simply representing women in hip hop and their contributions, I think it's very inspirational. And I think one of the things I really wanted to do, which I'm not gonna like touch the book or whatever, but when you look at the front and the back cover, you see so many different women, but you also don't just see rappers. And I think a lot of times, even when we just celebrated Hip Hop 50, it was a lot of performances and rap and lyricists and a little bit of labels. And there was stuff for every realm, but the book has breakdancers in there. The book has stylists in there. The book has journalists and magazines and all these important firsts and contributions and movies. So much stuff that, like, I wanted when someone went in the bookstore to pick this up and be like, wait, these aren't all rappers. And then flip it over and say, wait, these aren't all rappers either. Like, what is this? And then to open it up and say, oh my God, like, this is broken into a bunch of different sections about different parts of this. I want people to be able to see that this thing that came from the Bronx, and even though people were rapping before 1973, that is a thing. We celebrate the 50 years, celebrate it in 2023. Even though this thing came from that space, it has really not just transcended, it has touched so much.
Yeah.
When it goes to music, when it goes to fashion, when it goes to clothes. You can look at any fashion brand, any fashion house today, especially the major ones, they're influenced by hip hop. There's absolutely no way these brands are able to do what they're able to do without the work of April Walker. April Walker, when I talked to her for the book, there were people who were starting their fashion brands and fashion lines that would come to her for advice. Like, she was like the OG of all of this. And that was a woman in the space taking up space. When you talk about interviews and Angie Martinez, literally one of the most important and most impactful people that if you go and ask many women who are journalists today, hey, who's someone who inspires you? They will say her.
So even some men, because
that's what I'm
saying.
Some
of the podcasts I listen to, they always big up Angie.
Always
like,
big up Angie.
She's who she is.
That's what I'm saying. I really wanted people to really see, like, dang, not only has hip hop really touched everything, but maybe I feel like I can do whatever I want within this space. You don't have to. It happens so many times. Like, when I talk to someone about hip hop or the gum, they're like, oh, do you want to work in music? And I'm like, no, like, I just want to make TV shows and documentaries centered around hip hop. Like, I don't want nothing to do with what y'all got going on over there. Just when you drop the album, like, I will listen. But I want people to see that and feel like even if they don't want to work within that space or have anything to do with music, maybe the thing they wanted to do in their realm doesn't have to be the traditional thing or what everyone always expects of them. That's what I really want people to take from it. And I want them to laugh. I want them to have fun and be entertained.
Yeah, I mean, the book, from the part I got to, it definitely was entertaining because I wouldn't call myself a hip hop historian by any metric, but I'm familiar with a good amount of people, like the big names.
Yeah.
But like, I even learned from the first chapter about like the first hip hop party and how she kind of coordinated that event to be comfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
And then I also learned about what you deem as a good party.
Hey,
and it was like, it made perfect sense. Like, even the way it was all wrapped in, it like, I really do think it's a book that everybody should read, not just women, but you know, I think it's a book everybody should read, not just women. Because me as a man, I really enjoyed reading it, and I need to finish it.
Yeah.
And to go to that, there is something that I wanted to bring up that you...
Whenever
you
pick up this phone, I'm getting nervous. Like, what are you doing?
So I think it was, the author was Christopher Hunter, and I think the piece was in February 25th, 2019. He wrote for Lifestyle NYC. So there was something you said that I found interesting. They asked you, are you afraid that you may be coming off like an activist to your following or to the people who come across your site? And you said, I'm not attempting to force anything that we do down your throat. The one thing that makes us so authentic is it's simply like, hey, this is our message. This is what we do. This is what we stand for. I can't remind you every day. I don't tweet on there every day. We don't have a problem doing that because I love myself. I love the people that contribute to the site and I love our followers. But at the same time, I just feel like it's a reflection of you as a person. If you've come on there and you feel like you're being forced to think or feel a certain way. I also think that there's nothing wrong with activism. That's another side of it.
Yeah.
So it's just funny, like when I read that, I'm like, I agree 100%. Like somebody telling their story and what they believe, shouldn't make you feel uncomfortable unless like, you're on the wrong side of history.
That's what, like literally that was my answer. Like why, if it is activism, lit, like let's turn up. And I don't care.
And I think with any mission, you're not beating down doors, you're not putting, you know, read all about it, we love women, and you're not pushing any hate.
Yeah,
you're telling your perspective to those who ask and when you feel like it. And it's not, I follow the gumbo, it's
thank you.
It's not even very often that you're telling, you're putting any type of bold or aggressive message. I don't think ever. It's just interesting facts about history and how women have kind of had their say and their impact on it. So I just thought that was cool. It was one of the things I found when I was Googling you, which is weird to Google people, you know? You know?
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, dang.
Yeah, and I, you know, I had to make sure because, you know, make sure I wasn't putting my phone on my mouth.
I just think people also can't be afraid of doing things and being worried about, oh, they're going to think I'm trying to preach or I'm like, who cares? If I'm doing something that celebrates a specific group of women in hip hop and you people feel, because I remember when I wanted to start it, I talked to a few people and they were like, well, maybe like don't do like just Black women or like, why are you doing just women? Like it was so many different things. And I could tell that that was coming from a place of people not wanting to be preached to or like feel like it's activism. But I feel like so many things are inherently activism. Like it's clear that that's what it is. I'm not doing the regular, like, let's include all of this and talk about all the same things and all the same people. So I hope that people remember when they're creating something, create the thing that you feel like fills a void within the world. And if people don't like it or they feel like they're being preached to, then that's not the audience. And you don't have to worry about it because once you start worrying about it, then the gumbo now becomes, oh, a platform for women and then a platform for everyone. And then it no longer becomes the thing that it was intended to do.
Yeah, loses the authenticity of what it is. And change isn't supposed to be comfortable. So when people you never grow in a comfortable way, then you're not growing.
Not
so people fighting against that, like you said, they're not your audience and, you know, love and light to those people.
I don't care. Do you know how many people have hit me up over the span of 5 years? People like writing their dissertations or like a thesis for college. I mean, like I use this site to help write my thesis. Like I spoke at a college it's really 2024. Last year about the gumbo, she's like, yo, I teach these articles in my class. Like, this is on my syllabus. Like, people are learning about stuff that they
So you met a fan?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was a professor.
She could be a fan, though.
I mean, maybe, like, she's a fan of the gumbo, but I'm saying that to say, like, yo, it's really important, crucial work.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's the fact that you've created a space for people to come and draw on your knowledge and your input is important. And before I get you out of here, the last thing I have for you.
Oh, we're at the end?
Yeah, we are.
No way!
We're at the end.
You didn't use nary a sound effect. What's going on?
Because I forgot. And I don't want to be on my phone too much. It don't look like, you know?
I know, yeah.
But I'm trying, you know what I'm saying?
What's happening?
The last thing I have for you is, who is Nadira Simmons?
That's such a deep question. Like, I don't know.
You
like,
said you
what
want...
What are you... I mean, I watched other people say it, but like, what...
I don't know who you are.
First of all, yes, you do. That's so crazy. Why did you say
I don't know your answer, though, so you got to, like, you know what I'm saying? There's no right or wrong answer. You would know best.
I know, but then, like, am I going to be, like, deep and emotional?
You can.
Like,
some people have...
I am a friend. I am a daughter. I am a sister. Sorry, because I know some people say that. I'm not
People were saying a lot. You remember that other... What was that thing during 2020? Them challenges they was doing, I'm a Black man. You don't remember that one?
Please. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I ain't posted, but God bless those people who did once again. But, Brandon, ain't you supposed one? Okay, my fault. Go ahead.
What's wrong with you?
No, my fault. I forgot where I was.
Now you're crazy.
Who is Nadira Simmons?
I feel like Nadira Simmons is a woman with a thirst for knowledge. That's who I feel like I am. In like every facet. I just like knowing what's going on And I like knowing why it's going on. And I like knowing the history of things. So I can then celebrate those people that have been in those spaces. So I feel like that's me at my core. Like, I'm always like, I want to know more.
I like that. So knowledge is power, or so they say. So.
That sounds like what people are posting on Instagram. What?
Nasty quote, but it's real. It is real. No, I feel the same. Like, it is important to kind of search for knowledge. And Nadir is a knowledge-seeking woman.
Okay. So. You said it way better than I did.
I mean, I'm not you, so I could just repurpose what you said. But yeah, no, thank you.
Thank you
so much for coming through.
I got to sign a book for you.
Yeah, this is First Things First, Nadir Simmons, Hip Hop Ladies Who Changed the Game.
That's right, let them know.
Drops January 30th.
Yes.
Yeah, please read it.
Please pre-order.
Pre-order, yes, we need those numbers.
Yes.
It's a great gift. It's great. it's great content for teaching.
Yeah.
I'm not really gassing. I really enjoy the book. I've been trying to read more books this year, and this is the first one that I've actually started. So I definitely go out there and support, and, you know, there's a lot to learn. And
yeah.
It's about women. Who doesn't love women? So, yeah.
You're a nut, yo. What?
But, yeah, nah, this is ITV. I'm Joe Fitz. That's Nadira Simmons. Shout out to the Gumbo. Shout out to Sample Sunday.
Shout out to Quinn. Shout out to Quinn.
Yes. And, yes, see you on the next one. Peace.
That was so fun.
Yeah, that was good.